God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is May the 9th, 2007, and you are listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. A special treat tonight with missionary Mike Morrissey bringing the message. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.
This is my dear wife, Lois. We've been married 47 years. We have 5 children, 12 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. And we just got a call the day before yesterday. We have a 2nd grandchild due. And so, praise God, I'm just getting a little older, I guess, huh? But anyhow, don't laugh at me, lady. But anyhow, it truly is a blessing to be here tonight. And I'll get right into the meat of the message, and I just pray that you give me full attention now. I'm not an artist. What I do is illustrations. Some folks say, well, you got an accent, and a kind of thick accent, and a kind of hard to hear. Well, if you can read tonight, you'll be able to understand the message. If you can't, you're just out of luck completely, I guess. But now, this is my 3rd time preaching in a movie theater. That's right. The last time was in California. And I thought they were liberal there, but I guess they... Well, no, I didn't mean that. But also was in Moscow, Russia, back in 1994. I preached in a movie theater. I was trying to get my composure here. But anyhow, take your Bible, please, and turn it to Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Sometimes as I preach, I have what they call a Teflon moment. It just doesn't stick anymore. And so, you know, don't laugh, because you're blessed enough to get older. You're going to find that's going to happen to you, too. You can call it Alzheimer's, but I don't want to call it Alzheimer's. That means I'm a little sick. All right. 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to jump right into verse 9. Normally I read all of it, but you'll catch on to it. What's happened is Elijah is the prophet of God, God's man sent forth to preach the gospel. And Elisha, similar in sound, but it's Elisha, he's following him, he's learning, he's in a training program. He's in the process of learning how to be a prophet of God, God's man. And so he's watching Elisha as he's performing miracles, but also proclaiming the gospel and warning the people. And so here we see in chapter 2, verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over to Elisha, said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on, they talked, and that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and they parted both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, and the chariot of Israel and the horses thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in 2 pieces. And took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back, and he stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah, and he fell from him. And he smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also spit in the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and they bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you so very much, Lord, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. God, I thank you for the privilege to be here tonight, Lord. I thank you for this church and for these people. I pray, God, you continue, Lord, to give the pastor the insight, the wisdom he needs, Lord, to continue, Lord, to pastor this church. And Father, that you would get all the honor and glory. And Lord, they reach this neighborhood and this whole area with the gospel of Christ because of their faithfulness to you. Bless now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Beloved, what we see here is God's man Elijah, who is training up Elisha. And I want to tell you, that's your pastor's responsibility. He's to train up, he's to teach, he's to, in fact, to do all that he can to equip the saints. That's his responsibility, to equip the saints. And that's why I say in prayer, and I was very sincere when I said that, I'm just thankful to see so many of you folks here. I know it's not convenient to come here. In fact, the time is not convenient. The place is not convenient. But I'm just so thankful to see people like you who are just so willing to follow God's man and to really show people in this whole area that you have a God that's almighty, all-loving, all-powerful, and all-forgiving. And so, if you will, realize this. God, the God of heaven, the God of this universe, who created us in His image, He wants us to be also like Elisha. The fact is, He wants us to have a double portion. You know, many times, though, people, they don't go about trying to get this double portion in the proper fashion. And so tonight, I'm going to teach you a principle. Hopefully, it will help you to understand how you can have this double portion. And so the message is called Double Portion. Now, that's my problem. When I go out to eat, I always like a double portion. I guess that's obvious. That's not funny, lady. But anyhow, God wants to give you a double portion, a double portion of His blessings. But just wait a minute. In order to get a double portion, you have to have the first portion. You can't get a double until you get the first portion. And that first portion comes by and through Jesus Christ. The fact is, you must be born again. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came to this earth for one purpose. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus Christ came to die on Calvary's cross. I don't know if you can see the word Jesus there for way back there, but that's what it says. Go right down there. Jesus came to suffer a cruel death. He came to take your sins, my sins, the sins of the world. And the day that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that wonderful day, I want to tell you, that's the day you receive the first portion. That's when you become born again, a blood-bought child of Jesus Christ. You see, you must be born again. Jesus made it very clear when He spoke to Lazarus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot go to heaven. He cannot be saved. And so therefore, it was His precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross that takes away your sins. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The atonement of a sin is in the blood. And when I see that blood, He says, I'll pass over you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. And that's when you receive the first portion. The first portion. But you know, now that you're saved, you know, sometimes you hear other people out there, or you're not reading the Bible, and you listen to other people, and you know, you want to get that double portion. And so therefore, the first thing you have to understand is this here. And now that I get that first portion, that second portion, I'm sorry, you have to see yourself, if you will, as a surrendered Christian, one who is going to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. But the fact is, too many of us listen to some of these kooks on television, on the radio. And they say to you, if you want anything of God, all you have to do is tell Him what you want. I tell you, not. You do not tell God a thing. You ask. You ask and you pray. And you yield yourself unto Him. You surrender yourself. And so therefore, you have to understand, if you want anything from God, yes, you have to surrender yourself. But you cannot, in no way, shape, or form, can you put restrictions on God. In other words, there's no way should you put any type of conditions. So everything has to be unconditional. Unconditional. Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. God, I pray this is Your will. So it's unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender. The fact is, many times people go up there and say, oh, Lord, I'm willing to go any place, anywhere, anytime, you know, providing You bring peace in my family. God, I just need a little peace in my family. If you want to follow me, take your Bible and look in Matthew chapter 10. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10. And we'll stay there in a few other verses there, folks. 10, verse 34. Jesus said, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of their own household. And you know, I certainly understand that. Because you see, when I first got saved, I got saved Palm Sunday 1974. I got saved, and I got saved out of Catholicism. And you know, I wanted to desperately reach my mama and my two brothers. I have an older, younger brother. And I want to tell you, I want to desperately give the gospel to them. And when I gave the gospel to my mom said, "I don't know you anymore." I said, "Mom, did you like it when I drank and I smoked and did all those things?" She said, "No, son, but I don't know you anymore." I want to tell you, folks, I was brokenhearted to think that my mom wouldn't listen to me. But also I had confidence and I had a peace because I knew the scripture where Jesus says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own kinfolks, and in his own home." A prophet is not without... Fact is, a prophet... That is, a blood-bought child of Jesus Christ may not find that everybody they talk to is going to receive Christ. But I want to tell you, if you're obeying God's word, you'll find that peace because you're in the midst of God's will, serving Him and telling people about Jesus Christ. That's why we read that text there about trying to tell people. And the father begins the son, the mother begins the daughter-in-law. The fact is, this is a common thing. Because people, when they hear the truth, it's like a slap across their face. But I want to tell you, folks, they need to hear the truth. Because it's the truth that's going to set them free. And if you don't give them the truth, those people are going to die and split hell wide open. And their blood is going to be on your hands. Ezekiel 3:18 makes it very clear. If we don't want the wicked of their wicked ways and they die in iniquity, their blood is going to be on our hands. We need to tell people about Jesus. Some of you folks, you're faithful to come to church, but you're not faithful in telling other people about Jesus Christ. I say to you as a brother in Christ, shame on you. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, just kick it aside. But I want to tell you, that's a tragedy because a lot of us, we have an opportunity. It took 10 years before my mama got saved, but praise God, she got saved. Amen. I want to tell you folks, you need to be persistent. I was talking, I don't know if it was this secretary here, but just recently I was talking to the secretary, I called up, and I said, no, it wasn't here, it was another church. I said, "You don't know my middle name. My middle name is Tenacity. Tenacity. I learned a long time ago as a young boy to stay with the stuff, just stay with it. I didn't get saved until I was 35, but I learned as a young boy, I came up from a broken home, and I learned just, if you want anything in this life, you had to earn it. You had to do it the old-fashioned way, you had to work for it. I remember I had my very first bike I had was three different bikes, a Columbian, a Swin, and a Raleigh. And I put all three together, and I had to paint it with house paint just so I could have a bike. And I was proud as a peacock. I did it the old-fashioned way. And you know, I'll tell you, folks, we need to be about God's business, and sometimes things don't come easy. But I'll tell you, that's what it's all about, just staying with the stuff and just being faithful. Someone else will say, "You know, Lord, I'm willing to go any place, anywhere, anytime, providing you just give me a nice home, Lord. I'm just looking for a nice home. If you give me a nice home, Lord, I promise you, I'll serve you. I'll give you everything." Well, let me show you what Jesus said. Look at Matthew 8. Matthew 8 and verse 20. Jesus saith unto them, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Jesus had no place to lay his head. Jesus had to just sleep wherever he could. And some of us was, "Oh Lord, I just need a nice home." I want to tell you folks, home is where your heart is. You've heard that before, but if Jesus Christ is your heart's desire, I want to tell you, any place can be your home. I'm not saying this in any form of boast. My wife and I, we've been out on the road 365 days a year. We live in a trailer. We don't have a home. We just recently considered getting a place there because my wife has had some physical complications, and I bought another trailer that's stationary, but I just bought another trailer. But I want to tell you this, folks, we never had a home for the past 17 years. We've been out on the road for 20 years. Actually, it's 18 years. We've been out on the road now for 20 years, and the past 18 years, we've been out on the road 365 days a year living in a fifth-wheel trailer. I want to tell you, folks, I thank God every day, every single day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the privilege to serve Him. And some of you people say, "Yeah, well, I need to get a home." After you don't understand. Don't tell me I don't understand. Ladies, I understand. My wife likes to have her little nest too. But she was willing to sacrifice and to go wherever God called me. And I thank God I have a wife that was willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as she followed me. That's a wife. But I'll tell you, folks, some of you say, "Well, don't give me that baloney. I don't need it." I'm smiling, folks. Anyhow, Some people say, you know, Lord, I'm willing to go any place, anywhere, anytime, provided you get me some nice clothes. Lord, I just need some nice clothes, Lord. I really need some nice clothes. Well, let me just show you what it says in Matthew chapter 6. Look me there, please, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 28 and 29. Jesus says there, and why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. That reminds me. Back in my second year in this ministry, and that would be in 89. And I'm out the road now, already a couple of years now, and I'm doing revival meetings and Roundup Sundays and youth rallies, but this particular time, I was doing a revival meeting in Pensacola, Florida. And I want to tell you, folks, I only had one jacket. It was a sports jacket. It was kind of like a tweed, you know, and it had the leather elbows. When it was new, it was pretty fancy. But I was wearing it all the time to the point where it looked like burlap bag with little hunks of leather on it. And I remember one time saying, Lord, you know, God, Father, I'm doing my best to serve you, and Lord, I need to get a suit, because especially when I'm doing revival meetings, I need something to change, at least every other day. I wasn't asking for only but one suit. And I shared this with my wife. I said, you know, Lois, I prayed and asked God to you know, provide me with a suit. And she said, you know, they mentioned that there was a rescue mission just a block away, and they have a place where they sell clothes, you know, just like Salvation Army and others, and they say it's pretty good. So I went down there, and lo and behold, I look on the rack, and there was this suit. It looked brand spanking new. It was a three-piece, and you got to be spiritual to wear a three-piece. Three-piece, pencil stripe, navy blue. That's my favorite color, navy blue suit. Now, you don't understand. When I go to buy a suit, I go to the big and tall guys, not because I'm tall. The fact is, I go to the big and tall because I take it across the chest. You say, oh, the pot. No, it's the chest I take it across. However, it helps the pot too. But the fact is this. I put this suit on it. There's never been a time I could go to, I don't care what store you go to, any men's store, I go to Walmart, I don't care where I go, to put on a pair of pants, I don't care whether they're dungarees, gabardines, or just regular suit. Every time, I always have to take the legs up. I get set short legs. If my legs get any shorter, I'll be walking on my knuckles. But the fact is, I tie the suit on, and I want to tell you, it fit me perfectly. It fit me to a T. And so the only thing I had to do is bring it into get it cleaned, and then clean it and all like that. I guess they might have taken off a dead body, but I could care less. I got me a nice deep, it was a nice suit, lady. The fact is, I got me a nice suit, and here I'm going to bring it in, and lo and behold, I get a knock on my door. I come back to show it to my wife, and I showed her. She tried it on, and she said, boy, that's beautiful, nice three-piece suit. And I take it off, put my other clothes on. I get a knock on the door. It was the pastor's wife. She said, Brother Mike, she said, I need to ask you a question. She said, I don't mean to embarrass you or anything like that, but she said, I need to ask you a question. I said, yes, ma'am, what's that? She said, my dad died a month and a half ago, and he has a suit that I think will fit you. Would you mind trying it on? And I'm saying, sure, ma'am, you know. So anyhow, she comes, and I tries the suit on, and it fits me perfectly, and she hands me six suits. But I want to tell you, I was really upset to think I spent $25 for that three-piece suit. I get ripped off. I paid $25 for a three-piece suit now, and I got six suits. But, of course, this was three-piece. So, now I'm preaching and going to different churches. Now I'm in Mississippi. And I was doing a week of meetings at this other church, and this pastor had just came from some foreign field. He was a missionary, and he took over a church. And I noticed that week while I was with him that he was wearing the same suit every day. And by the way, mine might have been old and all like that, but his was not only old, but it was torn and tatted. And at the end of the week, I said to him, I said, hey, preacher, I said, I have a suit that I think will fit you. Do you mind trying it on? Oh, I know, you're thinking of a three-piece suit. Let me tell you, folks, I wasn't going to give that one up at all. I paid $25 for that one. So he tried it on one of the suits, so I gave him three of the six suits that I got from the pastor's wife. But I want to tell you, folks, you see, I was praying, but I wasn't trusting the Lord. I was praying, and then I went out and did it myself. I know you never done that. You never done that. I did. I was just one of those ignorant guys that just figured, well, God is not going to do it. He can't handle that. He's not interested. He was interested in me. I was just going ahead of him. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not what? In thine own understanding, but in all thy ways what? Acknowledge him. Let me tell you, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll fulfill your needs and even a lot of your wants. I can tell you in the past 20 years, I don't have any needs. All of my needs have been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. All of my needs, and even a lot of my wants. I still got some other wants, but maybe I'll get them someday. You know, but no. Anyhow, all God has just taken care of us. But I want to tell you, I know you know folks who have never done that. You pray, and then you go ahead and you take advantage of a situation without even trusting in the Lord. Yeah, I'll take care of it. Well, God wants to help you out. God wants to bless you. He wants to reward you. And sometimes we go ahead of him. Excuse me, if you notice, I bring my own bottle. But anyhow, we have to realize we have to be totally, totally surrendered. Unconditional, no conditions. God, I just trust in you, Lord. I'm just going to ask you to help me, Lord. You know my needs. Then once you do that, which goes right along with it, because if you're surrendered, then you have to recognize this. As one that's surrendered to Jesus Christ, that's when you have to see yourself as a servant to Jesus Christ. Now, a servant can do one of two things. You can say, yes, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Or you can try to run and hide. Now, we know Jonah tried to run and hide. He went down to Joppa to hide amongst the people there, but he was found out, wasn't he? He went into the hull of the ship, and the people there were going to be cast in the ocean by the horrific storm and all like that. And finally, he fessed up, and they dropped him into the ocean. He was found out there in the ship. And there's that whale was already there, and he swallowed. Do you know he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly? And then he cried out. He said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again into thy holy temple. What he's saying is, God, I'm out of your will, but I'm coming back. There's some folks here tonight that's out of God's will. Oh, well, I'm coming to church. That's great, but that's a part of God's will. That's not all of God's will for your life. God has another purpose for you. God has a ministry for you. Maybe you say, oh no, God didn't call me to pastor or be an evangelist or missionary. Yes, let me tell you, God called every one of us to be a soul winner. Jesus said in John 15:16, speaking to the Christians, he said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and I've ordained you to go and to bring forth fruit, and your fruit shall remain. And Psalm says, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. If you're not winning souls, what's the opposite from wise? I'll tell you, fool. So if you're not doing your best to win souls for Jesus Christ, then you're the opposite from wise. And that's not a good thing for a Christian. You're going to reach people that I'll never be able to reach. Oh, I'll reach people you'll never be able to reach. But you'll be able to reach people, especially in this area, because I only come by every 2 years. You've got all kinds of friends or co-workers, neighbors. Wonder if you're a witness to any of your neighbors. Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing how some people, they just don't get it. The greatest responsibility we all have is to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. We just need to point people to Jesus. It's Jesus who's going to get them saved, but we've got to give them the information. We've got to tell them about it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so therefore we need to be about God's business. You know, beloved, there's only too often when you go to church, there's many churchians, but not all are Christians. You're all churchians, but not necessarily all Christians. Maybe someone here tonight that you've been coming to church, you've been faithfully coming, and you're still not saved. As I said at the beginning, you must be born again. You must receive, believe, accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your God and Savior. For if you don't do that, you'll not be saved. You will not be saved. Many people get confused and they think baptism saves. And baptism does not save you, folks. The very best it will do if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the very best it will do is clean the outside of your body. But when you're saved, the purpose of baptism is the same reason why I wear a wedding band. I wear windband, and that's my way of letting people know that I'm not ashamed to tell you I'm married, and I'm not ashamed to tell you especially who my wife is. But I've been wearing it for 47 years. I've never taken it off. Just figured, well, I want people, I'm going to, I wear it very proudly. Well, when I got saved, it was a public profession of my faith. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my God and Savior, and that's all it is, a public profession. And it's a picture of dying to yourself, and I want to die to my sin, and I want to raise up and live for Jesus. That's what it's a picture of. And so many people get those things confused. But I want to tell you, folks, God is not looking for a churchian. He wants you to be a Christian, and a Christian who is sold out to Jesus Christ. You know, some people, they'll come for a function, but they never look forward for an unction of the Holy Spirit. That's that double portion we're talking about, folks. An unction of the Holy Spirit where you can really be blessed, where you're really going to be encouraged, when you can really just say, thank you, Jesus. I mean, I want to tell you, folks, I don't forget that day I got saved. I can go in detail how I get saved. I know some people are kind of sketchy. Well, I think I get saved in the summertime. Well, I don't think I get saved. I know I get saved. I get saved Palm Sunday 1974 around 7 o'clock in the afternoon, in the evening, and I was in my bedroom on my knees when I was crying like a little child, asking Jesus Christ to forgive me. And that moment, my tears of pain and sorrow became tears of joy and peace, because there on my knees I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'll never forget it. And I wasn't one of these kind of Christians who were kind of in and out, you know, saying, well, gee, I think I can lose my salvation. You see, I knew one thing. Jesus said, I give unto you eternal life. In fact, I get saved by John 3:16. God so loved you, Mike Morrissey, that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, he loved you and you and you. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal means just that, eternal. I don't want to understand why people think they can lose their salvation. I call those people who think they can lose their salvation the Daisy Theory Christians. You know, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. No, he loves you, period. But you got to know that you're saved. You got to know that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, it's important for you to realize you need to have an unction of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. And once you're saved, you can still have that unction again. You can have that blessing with that double portion where your cup is overflowing. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, thank you, Jesus, for helping me in this difficult time. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my child. Thank you, Jesus, for getting me a job. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you, folks, I wonder how many thank Jesus just for being the Lord, just for being who he is. Was that a tough question? You know, you say, thank God he only comes every 2 years. Well, I want to tell you, it's a wake-up call to some folks. Some of you folks, I'm certain you're right in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm certain that some of you really have a great and a wonderful relationship with him. Some people would rather see themselves working, involved, and have other people say, oh, that person's doing this, and that person's always busy. Boy, I don't know. But it's more important to worship Jesus Christ than it is to work for Jesus Christ. Because if you worship Jesus Christ, you automatically will work for him. Do you get it? Many people think, well, I'm going to just get involved in the church and I'm going to show myself. That's not necessarily worshiping Jesus Christ if you're doing it for other people to see you. You understand that? It's when you worship Jesus Christ and therefore it produces works. That's why James says, you know, you show me a man that says he has faith by his works, and I'll show you my faith. And by his faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, you show me a man that has faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, he's going to get involved in ministry. He's going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to do his best to do his best. And it's not always easy. But let me give you an illustration of that. Look at me there, please, in Luke chapter 10. We see these two sisters, Mary and Martha. And here's what happens here in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him, meaning Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was coming about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, thou art coming about so many things. Martha was working. Martha was putting on a good show. But her heart was not solely into worshiping Jesus Christ. A part of worshiping is to worship. You know, a part of worshiping is to worship. You understand? Yes, your worship will produce works. But we ought to first let him know we love him. And Lord, whatever your will is, I'm willing to do it, Lord. Just show me. Help me, Lord, to understand. I said at the beginning, it's your pastor's responsibility to equip the saints. And I know he has that ability, and I know he's more than willing. But you have to let him know, oh, you know, Pastor, I'm not certain how to go soul winning. Could you show me how to do that? I just thank God for those young ladies tonight who played. It just tickled my soul. You know, when I pastored in Boston, my daughter was 13 years of age. I didn't have a pianist. God bless her. She wasn't... You know, she wasn't the greatest pianist, but as far as I was concerned, she was the best pianist in all of Boston, because she did it to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And she made a mistake. I said, "Hun, don't worry about it. Just keep going, baby. Just keep going, sweetheart." Because I was leading and singing, and I want to tell you, I just drowned out any mistake she made, so she didn't have to worry about it. But I want to tell you, folks, I just was thrilled tonight by those young ladies. That's a part of serving the Lord. That's a part of it. That's their ability, their capability. But let me tell you something. That's not their only responsibility. I'm not trying to put them on the spot. I'm using them as an illustration, though, because they have a responsibility also to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Our daughter, when my wife was taken out to teach her how to go to soul winning, and so when they got to about they went the first four doors or so, my wife did all the talking. When they got to the fourth, fifth door, it was my daughter's turn, excuse me. And so she knocked on the door, and this man comes to the door, and he had a can of beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other hand. And he said, "Yes, what can I do for you?" She said, "Good morning, sir." She said, "I'm Ann Morrissey. This is my mom, Lois Morrissey, and my dad's Pastor Mike Morrissey at Lighthouse Baptist Church." He said, "Oh, one of those nuts." She said, "Sir," she said, "I might be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right bolt, and that's Jesus Christ." And when I heard that, I said, "Thank you, Jesus. That's my daughter." But I want to tell you, folks, she was courteous. She was concerned for that person's soul. But she wasn't going to cower down either. Because she knew she had an important message to give to that person, to anybody for that matter. Let me just tell you something, folks. Let's bring it all down to this. If you're saved, you got the first blessing. Thank you, Jesus, that you've been saved. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to that day, or you came to your senses that day to realize the only way you're going to have a chance in the afterlife is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm so glad. That's the first portion. But there's another portion you can have, that double portion that we see Elisha received. Because after Elijah went up by a whirlwind, let me tell you, Elisha had performed twice the miracles that Elijah did. God wants to perform twice the portions, twice the blessings, twice the outpouring upon you. But you have to be willing to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Are you willing to say that? Or are you just going to continue being that churchian as opposed to that Christian? That churchian who knows all the hymns and knows when to say amen and hallelujah, but when it comes to serving Jesus Christ, you're a shrinking violet. Folks, what are you going to do today for Jesus Christ? You can be mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. You can be triumphant in Christ Jesus. Yes, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ. And where there's faith, there's no fear in witnessing for Christ. But where there's fear, there's no faith. And that's what happens to many people. They say they trust in Jesus Christ, but when it comes to soul winning, they say, "Oh, you don't understand. I've been there, done that. I've witnessed out in the streets. I mentioned in the past, I preached at a rodeo. I preached, in fact, aboard a German ship. God has just opened up many doors. And I just thank God. And I know that not everybody's going to do what I do. God is using me in a different fashion. I said that already before. I'm a different personality. Some of you say, thank God. But the fact is this. God wants you to be unconditionally surrendered to Him. Unconditionally surrendered to Jesus Christ. And to see yourself as a servant. And then when you do all those things that you're supposed to be doing, you know, when trouble time comes, and trouble will come to every door, to every home, there'll be sickness, there'll be a loss of job, there'll even be death. I want to tell you, even in those different times, difficult times, you're going to find that you'll still have that peace, or if you will, that serenity. A peace that passes all understanding. Where are you tonight in Christ? Are you in Christ? Do you know Him? If not, tonight's the night of your salvation. Don't worry about your neighbors. You just be concerned in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You get that first portion. Don't worry about anything else. Don't look for that second portion, that double portion yet. You need that first portion if you're not saved. You need to get right with God. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, I want to tell you, you can have a double portion. You can have a double portion. You can just have your blessed be blessed as you continue to seek and serve God's will. And so I want everybody to please bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. I thank you, Lord, for every soul here tonight. And, oh, God, I just pray people, Lord, will not just let things go by, Lord. Oh, yes, they can fool me. They can fool the pastor, Lord. They can fool their husband or wife. They can fool their children. Or the children can fool their parents. But, God, for them to try to fool anybody, they're the fool. Your eyes closed, your head bowed. I need to ask you a couple of questions. The first question is this. If you were to die tonight, do you know? Are you 100% sure? That is to say, can you remember a day, a time, a place when you truly have received, believed, accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior? So the question is as simple as this. If you know that you know that you're saved tonight, because you can remember that time you accepted Christ, would you please raise your hand in indication? Thank you very much. You can put down your hand. I looked around as quickly as I could. Some hands are going up and others are going down. Just maybe you couldn't raise your hand. If I was you, I wouldn't wait another second. I want to tell you to think I went 35 years having a head knowledge of Jesus Christ, but not a heart acceptance. I want to tell you, I never regretted the day that I trusted in Jesus Christ. Never one day. I'm not trying to tell you there's not been death in the family. There has. I'm not trying to tell you there's not been sickness. There has. I'm not trying to tell you there's not been loss of jobs. There has. Many things happen. But I want to tell you, we're still in this world, but we don't have to be of this world anymore. And if you're not sure you're saved, today's the day. You can have that wonderful knowledge and that confidence that you're wonderfully saved. If you're not sure you're saved, I'd like to pray for you. And the only way I could pray for you is you'd have to indicate by raising your hand and saying, "Brother Mike, would you pray for me today? Would you pray that I get saved?" If that's you, would you hold up your hand and hold it for a second so I can see it? A big audience here, and I've got to look around. Is there anybody here? Say, "Brother Mike, would you pray for me? I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. Would you hold up your hand up high that I can see it?" Okay, I see that. God bless you. You can put that in hand. Thank you very much. That takes confidence, takes courage. Listen very carefully to me. My prayer cannot save you, but your prayer can. You see, you have to say what we call it, the sinner's prayer. In fact, the very first prayer God ever hears is, we refer to it as a sinner's prayer. In fact, David, in the Old Testament, he made it very clear. He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If we hold sin in our life, God will not hear you. But the day you're willing to confess it, God will hear it and He'll forgive you of it. And so I want you to understand this. First of all, you have to recognize yourself to be a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. That's death and hell. But it says, oh, I love this conjunction. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. God has a gift he wants to give you. You know, if it's your birthday today and I had a big package up here, it had your name on it, it doesn't become yours until you come up and accept it. The same thing is true with the gift of eternal life. You have to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And so that's when the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if whosoever will call upon Jesus, right where you sit. You don't have to say it out loud. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to, in a prayer, ask you to say this, not out loud, but in the attitude of prayer to God. Say it to yourself and say it to God. Would you be willing to say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner? Then say it. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve the penalty of death and hell because of my sins, but I realize, Jesus, that you love me, and that you died for even me. I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my God and Savior, because I truly trust and believe in you and you alone to save my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Now, with your eyes closed, head bowed, if you said that prayer and you meant it, would you have the courage to raise your hand right now that I can say it? Brother Mike, I said that prayer. God bless you. God bless you. That takes courage. You can put down your hand. Thank you very much. That takes a lot of courage. Yes, over there. All right, listen very carefully now. I'm speaking to the rest of you. I believe God spoke to many of you today. And you can sit there in your pretense and make pretend everything's fine, but I want to tell you, my prayer is if God spoke to you today, brother or sister, and you're not willing to raise your hand, I pray you have no rest until you get it right. I mean, I pray you have no rest until you get, most miserable until you get it right. I love you enough to say that. If God spoke to you today, would you have the will or with the courage to raise your hand right now? Brother Mike, God challenged me today in the message, and I see an area of my life I need to rededicate. Would you just raise your hand right now, Christian? Put up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, all around the room. All right. Now, listen, I'm telling you, I believe there's others. And I meant that when I said that. I pray to God you have no rest unless you get it right. And so I'm going to ask you once again, if you raise your hand, you don't need to do it again. But Christian, God spoke to some of you others, and I know he did. And so I'm going to ask you right now, would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. I see that. Okay. Would everybody please open your eyes and stand to your feet? Open your eyes and stand to your feet. Listen, folks. This is not going to be easy as far as coming forward because of the situation. But I'm going to ask you this here. First of all, the pastor is right here. And I want him to stay here because you who raise your hand about salvation, he's going to be right here. I'm going to ask you if you'll come down here and let him know you accepted Christ today as your Savior. There's some over here and some over here. I'm not going to point you out, but I'm going to ask you to come and make your way over here to the pastor. And for the rest of you, you need to come down here and rededicate your life. It may not be convenient for you to kneel down, but you can at least come down here and we'll have a final word of prayer. And if God spoke to you, you're not willing to come forward, because let me tell you something, folks, this is where the rubber hits the road. By coming forward here, and you can't come forward here in the church where we love you, you're not going to do it when you step outside. So as I pray, you already have your marching orders through the preaching of the word tonight, then you need to march. Father, I just pray, God, right now, that people come out of the pews right now, Lord. For those folks that said the prayer to accept Christ as their Savior, that they would come boldly down here, and Lord, for the others, Lord, who raise a hand, Christian, you need to march. You need to come. How would you expect people to get saved if you're not willing to come out of the pews? Come on. Let's go.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our special speaker, Brother Mike Morrissey. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponca Theater building. Until that time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you, and have a great week.